If you would open your Bibles with us to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. While they're getting all of that up for us, so we'd assist us in our study. Let me remind you that the Gospel Crusade begins this evening, runs through next Friday evening, each evening at 7 o'clock. Invite your friends, invite your family, invite your neighbors to come. It's held in the building of the Reynolds Performance Hall on the campus of UCA, just like it has been for the last several years. Each evening at 7 o'clock, I encourage you to make your way out there. Whether you realize it or not, Vacation Bible School is just three Saturdays away. Just three Saturdays. The kids are inviting their friends. Adults, we need to do our part. You need to be inviting your family, your friends, your people you work with, anyone and everyone that you can. You need to be inviting them to come be a part of a great Vacation Bible School. What a great way to cap off a tremendous summer. Another great study from God's Word. And so we encourage you to do that. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells another one of those parables, stories, that he's so famous for. We've looked at a few of them now. Here's another one. This is prompted by a man who comes to Jesus and says, "Speak to my brother." I wonder, had this man spoken to his brother about that? Maybe he had. We're not told. But here he draws Jesus into it. "Speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me." Jesus says to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Who put me in that position? How did I end up in your eyes? Someone who needs to talk to your brother about dividing the inheritance with you." Jesus gave the man warning. He said, "Beware, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." This is what prompted Jesus to give this parable. So beginning with me now in Luke 12, verse number 16. Beginning with me, let's read the parable and then let's think about this for just a few minutes. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying," that would be unto this one of this company, that this man who had just drawn him into this situation was a part of. "He spake unto a parable unto them, saying," here it is, "the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room whither to bestow my goods. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided?" Sometimes when Jesus tells a parable, tells a story, you have to wonder, okay, all right, what is he really driving home here? With this one, we don't have to wonder. He tells us, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I don't have to wonder. Now, Jesus, why are you telling us this story? Why are you sharing with us about this certain rich man? He's warning us. Don't be like this. Here's a time when God called a man a fool. We're warned about doing that, aren't we? Jesus warned us in his Sermon on the Mount, call no man a fool. We're warned about that. But listen, folks, God's qualified to call a man a fool. And if he calls a man a fool, that man is a fool. This man was a fool. Why did he call him a fool? Well, I suggest to you, it was not because he was rich. Look back up in verse 16 with me. Jesus says, even in the story, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Was this the only rich man that existed at that time? No. This is one of those rich men, though, that he could point out and say, this rich man, not every rich man, but this rich man, this certain rich man, that man's a fool. That man is a fool. You see, there were a lot of rich men, and God never called every one of them fools, just like there are a lot of rich men today. And not all of them are fools. Some of them are. But not all of them are fools. Abraham's an example. In Genesis chapter 13, verse number 2, if you're reading there, the King James Version says, and Abraham to us, Abram was very rich. Silver, cattle, all those things. Abram was one of the richest men who ever lived. And yet, he's one that when we're looking for an example to be like when it comes to our faith, we're told in James chapter 2, emulate him. Be like him. You don't have to be a fool just because you're rich. Not every rich man's a fool. Abram was a very rich man. God's not calling this man a fool because he was rich. But God warns us through his word about our attitude toward money. That's what he's doing here to this man, a part of this company, who has come to him and said, hey, speak to my brother. He told him, beware. Be alert to the fact that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. Beware of covetousness. Be alert to this. Be aware to this. We read here. Y'all know this verse, don't you? 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. The love of money is the root of most evil. Thank you for correcting me. The love of money is the root of all evil. All of it. Not most of it. All of it. All of it. And it's the love of money. It's not the money itself. Money's inanimate. Money can hurt you, but money can also help you. It's just a tool. That's all that it is. It's when our affections toward that, when that becomes principal in our lives, when that becomes the primary thing, the love of money is the root of all evil. You're looking at a rich preacher. You are. You know what? I counted my shoes just this morning. I have 11 pair of shoes. Some of them are dress shoes. Some of them are loafers, I guess you'd call them. There's a pair of them that, I just slip on. I just wear anywhere I want to. Some of them are, kind of those athletic type shoes. I got them. And yet I have a brother in Christ in Zambia who has not even one pair of shoes, folks. You know what? I counted my suits this morning. I counted my suits. I have 4 suits that I wear consistently. 4 dress suits that I wear consistently. And yet I know a brother in Zambia who he has one sports coat that came to him in a little shipment of Truth for Today magazines, and he took that and he wears it. Today, in Zambia, he'll be wearing that. You are looking, folks, at one rich man. I am a rich preacher, but I am looking at a lot of rich people too. If you don't believe me, just step out on that parking lot. And let's just start totaling it up, okay? Let's just total it up. How many dollars are sitting on that parking lot? Right out there. And yet, the average person in this world, folks, doesn't own 3 or 4 automobiles. They own 0. 0. You are not average. I am not average. I am above average in wealth. You are above average in wealth. I'm looking at some rich people. And rich folks need this. Rich folks need to hear from Jesus about these things. Beware of covetousness. Understand, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And yet, what do we want? More. We want to possess more. It's like one man told me one time, I don't want all the land. I just want all that land that borders mine. More. We want more. As if somehow that's going to give us life. Speak to my brother. Speak to him so that he will divide the inheritance. Now that's real living there. That's real living. Beware. Beware. Why did God call this man a fool? It wasn't because he was rich. Not anything wrong with being rich. Why did God call him a fool? Folks, it was because he forgot the certainty of God. Listen to him. Count the pronouns and notice them. I'm going to read for you again verse 17, 18, and 19. Just 3 verses. Notice the pronouns. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Where's God in there? Where's God in that? Here's a man that takes no thought of God. He's forgot about the certainty of God. Verse 20, got to the certainty of God, didn't he? But God. Remember, there's a God. You can put all your focus, all your attention on getting, 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 and having, 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 and eating and drinking and being merry. But you better remember, there's a God. And that's a certainty. That's a certainty. In verse 21, when Jesus says, here's what I'm getting at. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Who did this man lay up treasure for? Himself. Himself. If I counted it right, 12 times in 3 verses, he talks about himself. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Toward God. He forgot the certainty of God. Just look at those pronouns. He forgot what God, speaking through Moses, as Moses stands out there, and he's told to read again and to instruct the people one last time, this new generation, one last time. I want you to keep your finger here in Luke 12. We'll come back there. But if you would, look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 8. The entire chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8, is about remembering the Lord. Just remember the Lord. Don't leave him out like this rich man did. Don't make that mistake. To this generation, to this new generation, here's what he says. I'm just going to point some verses out to you. Look at verse 2. Why is he saying this? That thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these many 40 years. How'd that rich man in Luke 12 get his well? He forgot. How'd he get it? Well, don't trust me. Read with me. Look over at verse number 10. Here's the warning. Remember, they're about to enter into a land that flows with milk and honey. They're going to live in houses they never built. They're going to harvest crops they never planted. They're going to drink from wells they never had anything to do with. They may have spent 40 years roughing it, but they're about to enter into a life of ease. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and are full, then shall you bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you'll forget the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I just wonder if it was possible for them to forget God when things got easy, when they became rich, when they became wealthy. I told you, you're looking at a wealthy preacher. I told you, I'm looking at some wealthy people. You are rich. I wonder if they could forget God, could we forget him? Could we be laying up treasures for ourselves and not be rich toward God? I wonder who's right, us or Jesus? You know who's right. We know who's right. What was the result with this man that said, hey, speak to my brother? So he divided the inheritance. I wonder how he responded to this. We're not told. But don't you just hope beyond hope? They said, you know, you're right. You know, you're right. I'm focusing on stuff that really, that's not all that important. What is important is me being rich toward God. I hope he responded like that. Because that's the way every one of us need to respond to the teachings of Jesus. Oh, I'm not through in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse number 18. But thou shalt remember. Remember this. Remember the Lord thy God, for is it he that hath given you the power to get wealth? And he goes on to talk about to these specific people, to establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. But beware Remember the Lord thy God, it's he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. But what happened with this man? This man had forgot the certainty of God. There's a God. He's the God who gave me the ability to get this wealth. It's not about the wealth, it's about the God. James 1:17, every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no changing, not even a shadow of his turning. Everything comes down from him. This man had forgotten. This is what made him a fool. When God calls a man a fool, he's a fool. A man is a fool who forgets about the certainty of God. And, I just added this morning. I thought maybe it'd be good to just look at the context of James 4:17. We know James 4:17 by heart. Help me, church. Here we go. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. Oh, we know the verse. We know the verse. The question is, do we understand the context of that verse? Some would say, well, you know, it just stands alone. It's all by itself. Really? Because verse 17 begins with the word therefore. Therefore is connected to what's before. It could be connected to everything that's said in this chapter, maybe even up into the third chapter, second chapter, first chapter. But it's definitely connected to what's just before it. Look what's just before it. Look at verse 13. Go to now. You that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Where's God in that verse? This is what we'll do. This is what I'll do. We'll go and into a such and such city, and I'm going to continue there. I'm going to give this 1 year. 1 year. And I'm going to see what I can gain. How much I can get this year. Where's God in that? Verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You talk about tomorrow you're going to do this, tomorrow you're going to do that. You don't even know whether there'll be a tomorrow. Yes or no? You don't even know whether there'll be a tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, through James, in illustrating this, it says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. Look right up here, church. Everybody, put your eyes right up here. Here's what your life is like. Here's what your life is like. Did you see that little bit of smoke? Did you see that? That's what your life is like. That's what my life is like. Hey, the fragrance of that might linger just a little bit longer than I'm able to see the smoke. But you know what? The day is coming when David Riley will die. And just a few years down the road, you folks, the folks that are living, David Riley, I never heard of him. Who was that? That's what your life is like. That's what my life is like. That's the reason people start chasing their genealogy, and they'll find people in their genealogy. Well, I didn't know that name. That's right, because life is like a vapor. It appears for just a little while, even among family, right? It appears for just a little while, and then it vanishes away. It's gone. Really, in that little bit of time, in that little vapor, in that little bit of time, what's really important? Laying up treasures to yourselves or being rich toward God? Jesus was right, wasn't he? It's being rich toward God. James will say, verse 15, here's what you ought to say. Don't leave God out. He's certain. Don't leave God out. Here's what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we'll live. If the Lord will, we'll live. If the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that. But now as you're rejoicing, now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. The kind of rejoicing he's just talked about. Leaving God out of the equation. I'll do this, I'll do that. Leaving God out. That kind of rejoicing, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, it's sin. It's sin. There's one more reason I'd like to suggest to you that God calls this man a fool. And it's because this man, he forgot the uncertainty of life. The uncertainty of it. Look at verse number 19, 12, Luke 12, 19. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Really? Did he? Did he? Just because a man thinks it? Just because a man concludes in his own heart, I got many years. Does that mean it's so? No. No. He didn't even think about the uncertainty of life. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for you for many years. So take ease. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said, thou fool, this day, not tomorrow, this day, this night, thy soul will be required of you. And then who shall all these things be which you have provided? Who will it be? He had forgot about the uncertainty of life. Do you think this man expected to die that night? From just what you read, do you think he was thinking about, you know, I'll probably die tonight? Do you expect to die? And you say, yeah, I expect to die. Sure, I know what the Bible says. It is appointed unto man to die, and after death the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Well, sure, we all die. Here's your question, though. Do you expect to die today? Now how many of us? It'll be today. Today is the day. Today is the day I die. Oh, no. Not me. Not me. Now, I know somebody's going to die somewhere. There's going to be an accident. There's going to be a murder. There's going to be a suicide. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. Someone's going to die of natural causes. Someone's going to die. But it's not going to be me. That's the way this man lived. That's what made him a fool. That's what made him a fool. He didn't realize how uncertain life is. If we understood how uncertain life is, we'd trust in the living God. We'd put our trust in our riches in the living God. The living, not the dead. This rich man, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You're dead. You're dead. By the way, look at what Jesus said. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. What does that mean? The man who's laying up treasure for himself, whether he realizes it or not, is dead already. Why? Because he's not rich toward God. The real living is being rich toward God. Being rich toward God. There's a story that goes around. You probably can't see that. That's a story that goes around. that Satan called all his cohorts together. He called them all together. We need a meeting. Let's put our minds together. Let's put our thoughts together. And let's determine how we can go about making sure that that no more people become faithful children of God and go to heaven than can possibly be. And so they had their meeting. And one spoke up and said, I got an idea. Let's tell everybody there is no God. They won't believe in God. They'll die and lose their soul. Another one spoke up and said, hey, not only that, let's tell everyone there is no Holy Spirit. If they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, they're not going to try to follow the instructions laid out for them in the Bible, because the Holy Spirit inspired that book. Then, because they don't obey, they'll lose their souls. Another one said, I got an idea right along on that. Let's tell everybody that Jesus is not the Son of God. After all, remember Jesus said, John 8:24, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. So let's just make them believe. Let's just tell them there is no, that Jesus is not the Son of God. Someone else said, I got an idea. Let's tell everybody, along with those other things, that you don't need to be a Christian. You don't need to be a Christian. Just live, you know, a pretty good life. That's it. That'll cause men to lose their souls. And there was rejoicing. They said, we got it. Until one other stepped up and said, I got a better idea. Let's tell them there is a God, because most people are going to believe there's a God. Let's tell them there is a God. Let's tell them there is a Holy Spirit, because most people are going to believe that. Let's tell them that Jesus is the Son of God. Because when they hear that someone was raised from the dead, they're going to conclude that must be the Son of God. Let's even tell them they need to be Christians. But my suggestion is, let's tell them that they don't need to be in any hurry to become one. And Satan threw up his hands and said, yes, that's it. That's it. That's the answer. That'll cost more men and women, boys and girls, their souls than anything else we can do. Let's just tell them. All those things are true, but you don't need to be in any hurry. Do you know that every time a man or woman or boy or girl understands God's will for their life and says no, Satan laughs? I got them. Someday, Satan laughs at that. I got them right where I want them. Just keep saying someday. Just keep saying someday. I got you. Jesus' advice to us is this. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't be uncertain about God. There is a God. A God who, yes, expects certain things from us and will judge us according to those things. Don't be uncertain about God. Don't be uncertain about the brevity of life. Don't be a fool. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but this is where you're at. This is where you're at. Oh, yeah. I'll die someday, but I'm not going to die today. And so today, let's take it easy. Eat. Drink. Be merry. After all, you earned this. You deserve it. You need to repent of that attitude. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you understand God's will for your life. You're a believer in God. You're a believer in His Son, Jesus Christ. What's been holding you back? Who's been telling you? Who's been telling you, hey, don't get in any hurry? Let me ask you something. Who's been telling you that? Who's been telling you there's no need to get in any hurry about becoming a Christian? Has God been telling you that? How about the Holy Spirit? How about Jesus Christ? How about the church? How about your preacher? Is that who's telling you don't get in any hurry? Who's been telling you that? Really, who's been telling you that? Satan has. Satan has. And he's laughing. He's laughing. I got him. I got him. Right where I want him. I got him. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Become a Christian today. Obey the gospel. Because you're a believer, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. Raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Do it today. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Be rich toward God. And if we can help you with your decision toward God in any way, that's what we're here for. Because we love one another. And we want each other to go to heaven. You can let us know if you have any need or desires by making your way to the front, by stepping out of one of the aisles. Caleb's going to lead us in song. We'll be standing. You come as together we stand and sing.